Good morning. Welcome in. It is the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. Appreciate you joining us today. Kramer on the other side of the glass. My name is Brandon Kiley. If you want to get involved in the show, the text line is 69306. I am on Twitter as well, at BK Sports Talk. So the thing this week that has probably consumed the most amount of my time is the Mizzou coaching search, and it went nuclear just a couple of days ago. I want to talk with my friend Dan Wolkin. He is the national college football columnist for USA Today about that job and what could come potentially next. He joins us now on the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. Dan, thanks for joining us this morning. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm a little busy, but doing all right.
I appreciate you giving us a little bit of time. I know it is certainly a busy day for you guys. Dan, what has gone wrong with this Mizzou coaching search? I'm going to leave this open-ended for you. What the heck happened here?
Well, I don't know if I would characterize it as what's gone wrong. It's just the product of a job that I think a lot of people consider to be an okay SEC job, but one that is not necessarily an elite job. And so there's not maybe been the kind of interest in it that Missouri officials had hoped going in. And I don't know where they will go from here, if they're going to hit the reset button and try to generate some new candidates. But certainly, the initial candidate pool, some of the names that came out were not very impressive to the fan base. And that's a real tough spot to be in as an AD trying to make a hire.
So that initial list that you're talking about included the likes of Jeff Monken, the Army head coach currently, Skip Holtz, who's now at Louisiana Tech, and the final one on that list was Blake Anderson. And then some have said Jay Norvell was also kind of the fourth name that they were looking at. In your opinion, Dan, do you think that's a reasonable list of 3 to 4 candidates for this job? From your perspective, do you think those would have been good candidates for the Mizzou football coaching job?
Well, those are all pretty good coaches in their own right, and they've done some things, and they might be successful. But I think the issue that people have is, why did you fire Barry Odom? Who, it's not like he let the program crater. I think maybe there was some disappointment over the way the season went, but they didn't fall off the map. And so why did you fire him to generate that list, which just doesn't strike people as particularly impressive? And also, I think there's a financial issue there when you look at that list. I mean, that list to me indicates that they're shopping at sort of the mid-level price point and not putting out the kind of money that other SEC schools would throw on the table to attract some bigger name candidates.
So that's an interesting point, because I don't know if that's the case or not, but let's say that it is the case. If they were prepared to make a more substantial offer, something that would be more competitive in the SEC, $4 or $5 million, let's say, who do you think would be on that list of candidates? Like, who could they go out and potentially offer if they were willing to offer that kind of money, in your mind?
I mean, I think certainly you could look at a Brian Harsin, type of person. That kind of money would be attractive. I hesitate to sort of throw out a bunch of names, but a lot of these searches have overlapped. Arkansas, Ole Miss, Missouri. Arkansas is in a similar situation right now, and they have been throwing around money, and they're not getting the kind of interest from people that maybe they thought or hoped. They thought maybe Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss swoops in and gets him. Now they're kind of having to hit the reset button. It's just tough. It's tough to lure somebody who's had success to a job. And even guys at the Group of Five level, I think, Missouri, when they started the search, might have been thinking along the lines of Luke Fickell or someone like that, and found that he just wasn't interested. So guys are being a little bit pickier about which jobs they're going to take now.
We're talking with Dan Wolkin. He's a national college football columnist for USA Today. You can find him on Twitter at his name, at Dan Wolkin, W-O-L-K-E-N. I wanted to ask you about that situation, because as much as the Mizzou coaching search has, for a lot of fans, been frustrating, it does seem like this is more a college football program than it is a Mizzou problem necessarily. And that a lot of these jobs, they're just not finding the candidates that they were looking for. You mentioned Arkansas. There was the report last night from your colleague, George Schroeder, who said that they're looking at a former alum, Barry Looney Jr., potentially now as their next coaching candidate. I mean, this feels to me, Dan, like it's a bigger problem than just at Missouri. Would you say that's fair?
Well, I don't know that I would characterize it as a problem. It's just a fact of the market that even guys who are at the Group of Five level make a lot of money now. You know, in the American Athletic Conference, which is where a lot of these coaches are coming out of, a bunch of them are making $1 million, $1.5 million. Mike Norvell, who apparently is headed to Florida State, he made 2.5 at Memphis. So, you know, you have to be not just a job that is in the Power Five to lure someone like that. It has to be a situation where a coach feels like they can win big. So that's the issue. And so, like I said, guys, because there's not a huge financial incentive anymore to go to a place like Missouri, they're being pickier.
I wanted to ask you a couple more questions. We're talking with Dan Wolkin here on the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. One of the guys that's been getting a lot of buzz among Mizzou fans is Will Healy. You pay attention nationally far more than we do here locally. What can you tell our audience about Will Healy, the current Charlotte head coach?
Yeah, I mean, I know Will, and certainly he's a exciting young coaching prospect who has generated a lot of interest and a lot of buzz. First at Austin Peay, where he turned around that program and did a good job at Charlotte this year to get them bowl eligible. So there's a lot of potential there, but he's also very, very young. I think he's like 34. And to go from Austin Peay to Charlotte to an SEC program in a span of a couple years, I mean, that's just a massive, massive leap. And he's never worked at a Power Five program. He's never had to recruit at that, you know, those kinds of players. So I think there's a lot of question marks. If you're Missouri, do you want to take that chance? I don't know the answer to that. It's going to be up to them. You know, I think if that's the direction you go as a school, you're just betting that he is going to turn into a legitimate star and that you're just kind of getting ahead of the curve.
Last question for you, Dan. If you were the Mizzou AD and you were in charge of this search, who would be the coach or coaches that you would be targeting at this point?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, look, Billy Napier in Louisiana has done a good job. Eli Drinkwitz at Appalachian State's done a good job. Certainly those are viable, you know, SEC Power Five coaching candidates. I think there's there's guys who have done it before and been successful, like Todd Graham, like Larry Fedora, who might be worth a look as a second chance guy, Brett Bielema. You know, but, you know, do those names excite people? And that's the issue that these ADs run into.
He's Dan Wolkin. He's a national college football columnist for USA Today. He's one of the best in the business. We appreciate him joining us this morning. Dan, thanks so much for the time, man. Enjoy what should be a pretty enjoyable Saturday slate today.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. That is Dan Wolkin joining us here on the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. Mizzou is in a situation, and he didn't want to classify it as a problem. I understand maybe there was an issue in terms of the clarity for me. It's not a problem for college football. It is a problem for these programs, though, that are firing their head coaches. This is not specific to Mizzou. This is specific to every program that is not one of the top 10 to 15 programs in the country. Florida State didn't have this issue because if you do things right at Florida State, you can win a national championship. There's maybe 15 programs in the country where that is the case. And so if you're a place like Mizzou or South Carolina or, like he mentioned, Arkansas right now, it's so hard to find these coaches because, as he said, they're making $1.5 to $2.5 in some cases $1 million a year. So if you're one of those coaches, I'm not just going to leave for Mizzou or Arkansas or Ole Miss. I'm leaving for a great job. I'm not settling for a job. I'm going to the job. And so that's how these coaches are viewing things right now, and it totally changes the landscape of who you can actually target in these searches. Let me put it a different way. If today, the Gary Pinkel of today, whoever that may be, whoever you deem him to be, 20 years ago when Gary Pinkel was the coaching candidate at Toledo, that guy doesn't leave for Mizzou today. Instead, he stays at Toledo, gets the job that he wants, whatever that job is, Michigan State a couple of years down the road, potentially Michigan if it opens up, whatever the job is that he would be searching for, that guy probably right now is Luke Fickell, who's currently at Cincinnati. He's staying at that job because why leave? You've got 100% insurance that you're going to be there. You're doing a good job. The program essentially is running itself at this point. All you got to do is wait for the job to open up. And that's what these candidates are doing, and that's how you end up with a list. I know Dan said he thinks it's a money issue. I don't. I don't believe that it is the case that Mizzou has a money issue right now. I know a lot of people will speculate that that's the case. I don't think it is. I think they have a problem of, man, who's the candidate out there that you really want? I ask you guys on the text line, 69306, who's the quote-unquote splash hire that Mizzou could make at this point? Lane Kiffin, it appears, is going to Ole Miss. Who's the next name that is a splash candidate? I don't know that that guy exists right now. Would Jim McElwain be considered to be a splash hire? I don't think so. Would Brian Harsin? Probably. Is he interested in the job? It appears the answer to that question is no, but maybe they circle back with him this week. Would Will Healy, as he mentioned, the Charlotte head coach of a year, prior to that, the Austin Peay head coach who's 34 years old, is interesting. Is that a splash hire? I don't think so. And so this is the place where the athletic department finds itself today of, God, what do we do? Where do we turn? How can we find a candidate that's going to excite this fan base right now when this is the current landscape in college football? It's a difficult spot for Jim Stirk. I don't envy him for having to do it, but I said at the time when they fired Barry Odom, that was the easy part. The hard part is finding the right coach at the right time for this program. And that's what they're trying to do right now, and it is a damn near impossible job. It is. I don't envy him for having to do this, because there is no real right answer right now. Unless you're able to go get Brian Harsin from Boise State, who everybody seems to agree is the guy, I don't know where you turn. I don't know where you turn that Mizzou fans are going to be like, oh, yeah, that was an obvious candidate. Yeah, for sure. All the names that are currently being bandied about are guys that I can pick apart their resume in a second. It's not hard to do. It is the Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. I'm Brandon Kiley. We got Kramer on the other side of the glass. If you missed any of our interviews, Mike Sando and Dan Wolken, you can find those on the podcast page, 610sports.com or the radio.com app. Coming up next, there's one single issue with the game tomorrow between the Chiefs and the Patriots that worries me more than anything else. I'll tell you what that is coming up. It is the Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio.
The Leadoff with Brandon Kiley, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back. It is the Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. I'm Brandon Kiley. Kramer on the other side of the glass. Appreciate you guys tuning in this morning. If you missed my conversation with Mike Sando earlier today, he mentioned something that was really interesting to me. It was Patrick Mahomes and how explosive he is through the air, right? I kind of opened the show by saying that Patrick Mahomes hasn't been Patrick Mahomes the last couple of weeks, and we haven't really seen him put his stamp on the season the way that we did a year ago. Patrick Mahomes a year ago threw for multiple touchdowns in all but two games. This year, in the last 7 weeks, he's thrown multiple touchdowns in just two games. It's been weird. It's been different. It's been different to watch, and there's a reason why. Listen to this. Patrick Mahomes, in terms of explosive play, so 15-plus yards. In his career, 21% of his pass attempts go for explosive plays, 15 or more yards through the air. In the last two games, just 7% of his attempts against the Raiders went for an explosive play, and just 9% of his attempts against the Chargers went for an explosive play. Again, as I said earlier today, there are explanations to that. Not excuses, but explanations. There's the injuries that have led to that. Last week, there was, you know, they were blowing out the Raiders, so why go ahead and throw it through the air in a big way? It's not necessary. And then against the Chargers, there was the field conditions, there was the elements in terms of being the elevation. There's explanations as to why this is the case. But I do find it interesting that about a third of his career percentage in terms of explosive plays is where he was at the last two games. That needs to change against the Patriots. It's going to be hard against this defense, but that needs to change if the Chiefs are going to have any chance against the Patriots. Speaking of the Patriots, there is one thing more than anything that scares me about this game. One thing. It's not the players. It's not Tom Brady. It's not Bill Belichick. It's not James White. It's not Julian Edelman. It's not the ghost of Rob Gronkowski. And ain't any of that. It's Foxborough, man. It's the fact that, as my friend Therese Paylor would tell you, it's going to the place where the phones don't work. I don't like that idea. Let me give you a few stats really quickly of how the Patriots do in Foxborough. The Patriots are 36-4 at home in December since 2001. In those games, they average 29 points. They allow just 14 points per game. 36-4 at home in December in the last two decades. You just don't beat them there this time of the year. The Patriots are 105-1 at home when leading at half in the regular season. There's only been one team that beat them in that scenario, and that, of course, was the 2017 Kansas City Chiefs in the first week of the season. Tom Brady and Julian Edelman, did you know that they have never lost a regular season game to an AFC opponent at home? Never. Not once in their careers. They've been together for 10 years, and they have never lost a regular season game to an AFC opponent in Foxborough. They're 42-0 in that scenario. That's impossible.
Yeah, that's crazy how that's actually possible right now.
It's impossible, man. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't happen anywhere. Last one for you. The Patriots are 41-0 in the regular season at home against quarterbacks under the age of 25. Under Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, they never lose at home to young quarterbacks, ever. I say all of that to say this. The Patriots are a machine in Foxborough. It is damn near impossible to win in this scenario that the Chiefs are trying to pull off. It's the difference between what Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson pulled off against the Patriots and what Patrick Mahomes is going to have to pull off against them. Patrick Mahomes is going up there. Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson had Tom Brady and the Patriots come to their house. It's different. If the Chiefs were playing this game at home against the Patriots, I would be picking the Chiefs and not really even thinking twice about it. I think the Chiefs' offense, at its peak, and I do want to talk about this here in a minute, is better than the Patriots' defense. I believe the Chiefs' defense, even just no disclaimers about it, the Chiefs' defense is better right now than the Patriots' offense is. You would add in the home field advantage at Arrowhead, I would pick the Chiefs 20 times out of 20. I'm in. I'm all in. The problem is that's not the situation for this game. The Chiefs are going up there. And right now, my biggest concern is not in the defense. It is actually in the offense. I'm more concerned right now about what the Chiefs' offense can do against the Patriots' defense than I am about what the Chiefs' defense is going to do against Patriots' offense. And that's a weird place to be. Patrick Mahomes just hasn't looked like himself the last couple of weeks. The explosive plays are not there, as I just mentioned. I want to believe in this team. I want to believe in this offense, but recently they've given me very little reason to believe. And so that's where I'm at, man. I'm in this weird space, the same space that Mike Sando was earlier today, when everything he told me in the entire 10-minute interview was, yeah, the Chiefs are the better football team. Chiefs are better at this. Chiefs are better at that. Look at this. Look at that. All of it better. And then he got to his pick and he was like, kind of got to pick the Patriots, right? Like you got to go with New England, right? And that's kind of where I'm at of, I just don't know what to think about this game. I don't. I listened to this on WEEI up in Boston earlier this week, and it just makes me wonder, like, where are we on the Patriots right now? Listen to this.
They keep on saying, we've never seen this before. Yes, we have. We saw exact same situation last year. Nobody, and Rex Ryan admitted it, nobody thought that this team, the way they played down the stretch, because in the old days, the Patriots would get better in November and December. Remember those days? Last year, they got worse. And then they went to the Super Bowl, and they won the Super Bowl against this high-powered offense that nobody was going to be able to stop with a 32-year-old genius coach.
I don't agree with that assessment. I think last year they did get better down the stretch. But they got better in a way that we didn't see coming. They got better as a team that completely changed their identity. Their identity last year at the end of the season, and we saw this firsthand against the Chiefs, was we're going to beat the hell out of you up front. We're going to run the ball. We're going to shove it down your throat, and you're going to hate it, and this is just what we are going to do. That's not the case this year. They don't have that. They don't have the ability to be able to run on you. The Chiefs, or the Patriots, actually average fewer yards per carry than the Chiefs do. That's not the way that they were winning last year. The way they were winning down the stretch was by running it and running it and running it some more. They went on Sony Michel's back, and that's the way they were going to beat you. And then they got to the playoffs, and, you know, they did what they do, where Tom Brady goes into the phone booth, Rob Gronkowski becomes 10 years younger all of a sudden, and Julian Edelman's killing you on 3rd and 9 across the middle. That's how it worked. And so, as we are standing today, I don't believe the same thing's going to happen. I don't think they're just suddenly going to become a good running team. I don't think they're suddenly going to become a team that can run it down your throat and is going to be physical up front. That's not who they are today. And so there are some very clear differences in who the Patriots are today versus who they were last year. But you're still going up to Foxborough. You still got to go to the place where the phones don't work. And that's my biggest hesitation. I think the Chiefs are better. I think they should win tomorrow. I think that if they are the team that I believe them to be, the Super Bowl contender that I think that they are, they will win tomorrow. But the one thing that's preventing me from being super confident about it is where this game is being played. It is the Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. I'm Brandon Kiley. Kramer on the other side of the glass coming up here in just about 15 minutes. We have officially seen the tide turn on Tom Brady nationally in a way that I don't think we've seen since that Monday night game against the Chiefs. So we'll get into that coming up here in just about 15 minutes. But coming up next, want to talk a little bit of college football playoff and a little bit more on this Mizzou coaching search. We'll do so with Adam Rittenberg of ESPN next. It is the Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio.
The Leadoff with Brandon Kiley, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back. It is the Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. I'm Brandon Kiley. Kramer on the other side of the glass. Coming up here in just about 10 minutes or so, we will talk about the tide turning nationally on Tom Brady. It's been an interesting week, to say the least. Up in Boston right now, they're talking about the possibility of this really, this time, really being the final year of Tom Brady playing for the Patriots. If you missed it earlier this week, here's the report from Tom Curran.
All I know is the way this is trending is you have a quarterback who clearly felt as if he's been being replaced for several years now, and now they're at a point where he's got a contract that he negotiated so that he had freedom at the end of the year. How has this season gone for him? Not that great.
Not having a great time.
And how does it look statistically when he sits down at the bargaining table and says, I made 23 last year, I'm still a good player, let's get it up to 27 or 28. And they say, nope, we're not going to do that. So there will be a parting of the ways is my very informed opinion on this.
Do the Patriots really think he'll walk?
I wonder, Gary, if they actually might not have their fingers crossed that he does.
So that was the report out of Boston earlier this week. Listen, I understand that we've heard these types of things before and that there's been speculation from a lot of different people in the past. Tom Curran, when he's reporting it, it has a little bit different type of a flair. It has a different type of a gravitas. He is the guy that's typically laughing at these reports. And this time, he's the one that's making the report. And so it is a little bit different this time around. And it brings a little bit more added emphasis on this game, in my opinion, on tomorrow afternoon. And this is the type of game that it feels like this might be Patrick Mahomes' final opportunity to be able to take down Tom Brady. This may be the last opportunity that the Chiefs have to be the team that overthrows the Patriots in the AFC. There's a thing in the NBA where you kind of have to overcome a team to be able to take that next step, right? And so for years for the Chiefs in the NFL, it was the Colts, and then they overcame that hump. It was the Steelers, and now it looks like the Steelers are going to take a little bit of a backseat. But for everybody, it's been the Patriots, let's be honest. In the AFC, the team that you've had to beat is the Patriots to become that next team contender in the AFC. And it appears that the Chiefs could be set right now to be that team that overcomes the Patriots in the AFC. We'll get into more of that coming up here in just about 10 minutes. But right now, I want to go back to the 610 hotline to talk to our friend Adam Rittenberg. He writes about college football for ESPN.com. He joins us here on the Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. Adam, always appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Yeah, just arrived here at the Indianapolis airport and heading downtown to check out Big Ten championship later tonight and obviously watch all the games. I know Oklahoma seems to be motivated so far after Oregon opened the playoff door for them last night, it seems.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about the Mizzou coaching search. We'll get into that coming up here in just a little bit, but let's stick with the college football playoff scenarios right now. It feels like to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Adam, Ohio State winning in, LSU winning in, Clemson winning in, and then if Oklahoma wins at this point, they would pretty clearly be that fourth team, right?
I think so. You know, I think the interesting thing would be if Georgia were to win, and then what do you do with the fourth spot? It would likely go to LSU. I think they still have the most impressive resume of any team in the country, even if they lose today, and then Oklahoma would be out. So, you know, OU obviously needs to win impressively, and then hope that all the chalk holds in the other championship games. So I think that would be your field if everything goes as it could.
If Ohio State loses today, Are they in, or is a loss today too detrimental to them that their resume is not impressive enough and they wouldn't get in? Where do you stand on Ohio State? Because I think they might end up being, if they lose, the most interesting case to be looking at.
Yeah, I don't think they would be left out, but I think their resume is too impressive how dominant they've been throughout the season. Keep in mind, they have a 42-0 win over Cincinnati that nobody talks about. Cincinnati's playing for a conference championship game later on today. They were dominant in beating Wisconsin the first time. They were dominant in beating Michigan. Even their quote-unquote scare against Penn State was still an 11-point win that they never trailed or really never looked like they were going to lose that game. So I think, you know, committee has been consistent in keeping them number one, when they've looked really dominant, and I don't think they're going to drop them out even if they lose to Wisconsin tonight.
Last question that I have on the college football playoff. We always talk about expansion. We always talk about getting it to 8, and I've been in favor of that, certainly. But it seems like more often than not, Adam, we do have a way over the course of the regular season of kind of figuring all this stuff out. There have been times in the past, certainly, where there's a question of 4 versus 5, but more often than not, it kind of feels like we know who the 4 or 5 best teams are at the end of the season. Do you think this has kind of actually ended up being a good system for college football?
It just depends on what the goal is. I look at it differently. I look at the idea of a playoff is something that should be inclusive, not exclusive. And if you have a sport that, you know, is kind of inherently regionalized, you're cutting large portions of the country out when you have such a small playoff. Every playoff in every American sport expands, right? As a San Francisco Giants fan, I'll always be upset at the 1993 season when they won 100 games and didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
They obviously would make it now in baseball. And so you're right. In terms of teams that can actually win, I think there's only been two teams that haven't made the playoff that could have actually won it, and that was the 2014 TCU team and the 2015 Ohio State team. I think this year three teams can win it. We talked about them: LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson. And we'll see, you know, maybe Georgia, you know, looks different today, and I'll change that view. But typically the teams that are in it have a chance to win. But I just think it's not helping the sport when the Pac-12 is now going to be left out 3 years in a row, or that the Big Ten was left out in a couple of years, or that, you know, maybe a deserving Notre Dame team gets left out in the future. I think you want this thing to bring more people interested, because what it's done, and Nick Saban talked about this when it started, is basically make everything else irrelevant. The entire conversation is playoff, playoff, playoff. Nobody cares about the Rose Bowl. Nobody cares about the other bowl games when they're not part of the playoffs. So that's the system you've created, and I think you have to make it bigger in terms of bringing more of the country into it for longer.
We're talking with ESPN College Football Insider Adam Rittenberg here on the Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. All right, Adam, let's go to the other thing that everybody is talking about right now, and that would be the coaching carousel. It sounds like, based on what you have reported and what we heard last night, it is going to be the Lane train, Lane Kiffin, going to Ole Miss. It is likely going to be Mike Norvell taking his talents down to Florida State. Where does this leave Arkansas and Missouri? Where do you see these searches ultimately going from here?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. You know, Missouri obviously has some names that they've talked to and they've been reported. But are they excited enough about some of those coaches to end up giving them the job? I think there's some really good fits at Missouri. I think Willie Fritz would be an excellent fit there because of what he did in the state before and the respect he has among coaches I talked to. But is he exciting enough for Missouri? You know, the Brian Harsin, your situation will be interesting to monitor. As I reported yesterday, you know, he has not talked to any schools, according to sources, until after their championship game later today. Maybe that changes, maybe it doesn't. He would obviously be a strong hire for both Missouri or for Arkansas. The Arkansas situation seems to be more dire than the one at Missouri, though, just from everything that I hear, some of the reports about, you know, them even considering making Barry Lunny Jr. their interim coach in the full-time position. That just, you know, doesn't sound very good as far as the way the search is going. I still think there's some good candidates there, whether it's Willie Fritz or Skip Holtz or a guy like Eli Drinkwitz, who plays in this championship game later today for App State. So I don't think these things are by any means winding down. There still could be a few more surprises, but that's sort of where they are right now.
Okay, I wanted to ask you about Brian Harsin, because you were the one that had the report that he has not talked to any schools and will not do so until after his championship game. I am curious, because that's been the name from the start that is, okay, well, of course, like, if that guy is interested in your job, you go offer him the money that it takes and you go bring him to Columbia. Do you think he would be interested, though? And that's kind of the big question.
Yeah, and I don't know if he would be. And that was, I guess, a little bit of a surprise why his name is getting such traction, although it makes sense from the Missouri standpoint.
Sure.
I just know that, you know, Brian has turned down multiple Power 5 overtures in recent years. You know, jobs like Colorado, jobs like Arizona. And I always felt that, you know, his ultimate destination would be out west at a job like Oregon. If the Oregon job opens, now Mario Cristobal is doing a great job there. He's not leaving anytime soon. But if per se Oregon opened up, I think, you know, Brian Harsin would jump at that opportunity. You know, he obviously had coached in the state of Arkansas, at Arkansas State. It doesn't have a whole lot of ties to that region. He has zero ties to Missouri. So unless he wants to just coach at a Power 5 school, make a little bit more money, and get that part of his career going, I don't see him, you know, leaving a great situation at his alma mater, you know, for you know, let's face it, one of the more challenging jobs in the SEC.
We're talking with ESPN college football writer Adam Rittenberg here on the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. Just a few minutes left with him here. So the big story earlier this week, I believe it was Thursday when this came out, these days sort of run together when you're looking at a coaching search like this, was that the Missouri Athletic Department, the AD, Jim Stark, gave three names, potentially four, to the board of curators. And he said, these are the guys that I've come back with. It was Skip Holtz. It was Jay Norvell, potentially. It was Blake Anderson. And then Monken at Army. They then told him, according to reports, that those names aren't exciting enough. We can't fire Barry Odom for those guys, basically. Adam Rittenberg, you cover the sport. You know the names that are potentially out there. Who are the guys that could be had that would actually at this point be exciting to a fan base like Missouri? Are there any names that you can think of that immediately come to mind?
I think it's really tough. And again, I would just encourage everybody to look at a candidate's total profile, not necessarily how many wins they had this past year. I mean, Jeff Monken before the season had been killing it at Army. I mean, you know, and I was at their game at Michigan. They should have won that game. But he's an outstanding coach. He's got ties to the Midwest as an Illinois native. So I think very highly of Jeff. Skip Holtz has quietly put together an incredible run at Louisiana Tech. You know, Jay Norvell, who I wrote about for The Undefeated a few weeks ago, is one of the more fascinating coaches out there because he's been at all these big-time programs. He was at Oklahoma and Nebraska and Texas and UCLA, and he's a Wisconsin native who played at Iowa. So he would make sense at a school like Missouri. So I think everybody's just so wrapped up in, did you win 10 games this year? You know, or are you the hottest offensive coordinator in the country? And I don't know if a guy like Tony Elliott would be interested from Clemson, but maybe that's somebody who gets Missouri fans excited because, you know, he was the play caller for their incredible run here that features two national championships. So I think this is the problem with coaching changes is that you make them, and then it's all about exciting people. And sometimes that supersedes actually hiring the best coach. I think there's some good coaches, really good coaches that Missouri's considering that would help that program. But are they going to get everybody excited enough to actually make the hire? I don't know.
Last question for you, Adam. If you were in charge, you're the AD of Missouri, who would be your top candidate? Who would be your top list of candidates for this job?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, listen, if I can get Brian Harsin, I'm getting Brian Harsin. But I think I would certainly give you know, a guy like Jay Norvell, a guy like and I shouldn't discount Blake Anderson. Blake's been very solid at Arkansas State, hasn't had that true breakthrough season, but also hasn't had a clunker. I mean, he's had a winning record every year. So I think this list is pretty solid from a realistic standpoint. And, you know, my recommendation was Willie Fritz when we did our little coaching profile. I think he just fits that place and knows how to win, knows how to develop, and can hit the junior colleges as well as the high school. So I would go with a guy like that. But I actually think that the options there are pretty solid overall.
He is ESPN college football writer Adam Rittenberg joining us here on the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. Adam, always appreciate the time, man. I know this is going to be a busy, busy day, busy weekend for you. So we really appreciate you giving us a little bit of time here on a Saturday morning. Thanks so much and enjoy the day of college football.
All right, you too. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. That is Adam Rittenberg of ESPN joining us here on the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. I find it really interesting that there appears to be a disconnect. There appears to be a disconnect between national and local of what realistic and what good is at Missouri. I want to talk about that disconnect coming up on the other side. Plus, the official tide is turning on Tom Brady nationally as well. Get into it all coming up. It is the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio.
The leadoff with Brandon Kiley, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back. It is the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. I'm Brandon Kiley. Kramer on the other side of the glass, finishing things out here. Just about 10 minutes to go. Very happy to have you guys along for the ride. Coming up next, it is Out of Bounds with Dusty Likens and Nick Price. Very excited to listen to that show coming up momentarily. But before we get out of here, I said before the break, I think there's a disconnect nationally and locally on this Mizzou coaching search. And I thought Adam Rittenberg really did a good job of kind of describing it in his answer of what he thinks Mizzou should be looking for in this next coach. Listen to this. I want to react to it on the other side.
I would just encourage everybody to look at a candidate's total profile, not necessarily how many wins they had this past year. I mean, Jeff Monken before the season had been killing it at Army. I mean, you know, and I was at their game at Michigan. They should have won that game. But he's an outstanding coach. He's got ties to the Midwest as an Illinois native. So I think very highly of Jeff Skipholtz has quietly put together an incredible run at Louisiana Tech. You know, Jane Orvell, who I wrote about for The Undefeated a few weeks ago, is one of the more fascinating coaches out there because he's been at all these big-time programs. He was at Oklahoma and Nebraska and Texas and UCLA, and he's a Wisconsin native who played at Iowa. So he would make sense at a school like Missouri. So I think everybody's just so wrapped up in, did you win 10 games this year? You know, or are you the hottest offensive coordinator in the country? And I don't know if a guy like Tony Elliott would be interested from Clemson, but maybe that's somebody who gets Missouri fans excited because, you know, he was the play caller for their incredible run here that features two national championships. So I think this is the problem with coaching changes is that you make them, and then it's all about exciting people. And sometimes that supersedes actually hiring the best coach. I think there's some good coaches, really good coaches that Missouri's considering that would help that program. But are they going to get everybody excited enough to actually make the hire? I don't know.
And that's what I find really interesting about this situation at Mizzou. It feels like Mizzou fans and apparently the board of curators is more interested in getting a name that's going to win the press conference than they are getting the name that's actually going to win them football games. And that's not good. If you're a Mizzou fan right now and you're thumbing your nose at the idea of hiring a guy like Jay Norvell or a guy like Blake Anderson, I understand it in certain respects in that those guys aren't exciting. Blake Anderson has won 7 to 9 games every year he's been at Arkansas State. The problem is he's never had the double-digit win season. He's never really been the number one candidate for any of the Power 5 jobs. He's just a guy that's a pretty solid coach. At this point in time at Missouri, that's the kind of thing that you need to be settling for. He mentioned Willie Fritz is his guy that he thinks would be a perfect candidate for the job. I don't know much about Willie Fritz. The name, I think, is why a lot of people are turned off. Willie Fritz doesn't sound like a guy that's a great football coach, right? Like, let's be honest here. Most people have never watched a Tulane football game under Willie Fritz. None of it. And so a lot of what is happening right now is, I've never heard of Skip Holtz. I don't think that should be the next coach at Missouri. I've never heard of Eli Drinkwitz. I don't think he should be the next coach at Missouri. I've never heard of Blake Anderson. You don't fire Barry Odom to hire Blake Anderson. Well, what if these guys are good coaches? What if the list that your athletic director put together is actually a good list of names, is the most realistic list of names? If Brian Harsin out of Boise State is interested in Missouri, they should go make the hire tomorrow. He's got everything you could possibly want. His resume is impeccable. It's perfect. It would be a great hire by Mizzou. Don't let good be the enemy of great. In this situation, Mizzou's probably going to have to settle. That doesn't mean they made a bad hire. Those things can coexist together. You can go out there and hire a guy like, let's say, Willie Fritz. Let's say Jay Norvell, who's been kind of an interesting name that's come under the radar recently, the brother of Jeff Norvell. Those guys can be good hires. They can work out. I've seen a lot of splash hires that don't work out because they made the hire just to make the splash. If you're going to hire a coach, you're hiring him because you think he's going to be good for the next 3 to 5 years, and then we'll see beyond that if they stay at Missouri or go elsewhere. But you're making the hire because you think that they're going to be good. Protein House or Eat With A Purpose, text line 69306. This one comes from the 816. The problem isn't hiring an exciting coach. It's hiring a guy that's better than Barry Odom to justify the firing. I think there's some truth to that. But I also remember 3 weeks ago when all of you were telling me that Barry Odom is a PE coach that is masquerading as a football coach at Mizzou. And so what is it? Did you think Barry Odom was bad at his job and now he suddenly became better because you saw the list of the other names that were out there? Or was Barry Odom actually good at his job and you ran him out of town for no reason? I don't know. I would be of the opinion that if you thought Barry Odom was bad 2 weeks ago, go get a guy that you think is good. Period, end of story. I know this is a kind of a crazy thing that I'm suggesting here, but at some point, Missouri just needs to go out and hire the best coach that they can. All right, we've got just a couple of minutes left here. I want to finish off the show by telling you guys how washed Tom Brady is, how terrible he is, and that he's no good anymore, and that the Chiefs are going to absolutely destroy the Patriots. I'm joking, of course. But there is some truth to the notion that everybody this week seems to be throwing a little bit of dirt on Tom Brady's grave. And I find it really interesting because we've seen this before where people will throw the dirt on him. I don't know that we've ever seen it, though, to this extent. I don't think we've ever seen this many people saying how bad Tom Brady is. Listen to this from WEEI.
Listen, the wide receivers aren't working. And yes, I can sit there and look at five plays and say these wide receivers don't know what they're doing. I look at it as a collective problem. I just don't look at it as, well, they're dumb, they're stupid, Brady's wicked smart, and they can't figure it out, so it's none of it's Brady's fault. It is a team. He is a leader. Well, we talked about it yesterday. Apparently Albert wasn't listening. I would like the positive Zen-like Tom Brady to show back up rather than the pouty Tom Brady after games, because I'm sure that these young, unproven wide receivers are looking at their leader saying, Jesus, he thinks we suck.
That's how they feel right now in Boston. Boston is turning on Tom Brady. Think about that. Think about how bad Brady had to be this year for Boston to be like, you know what, our beloved son, our beloved Jesus-like figure here in Boston, we're turning on. We're done. That guy ain't good anymore. That's where the Patriots find themselves right now. That's the team you're going up against tomorrow. I think the Chiefs are winning this football game. I have zero confidence in that statement because the Patriots have never lost a regular season game at home against an AFC team with both Brady and Edelman on the football field. It's never happened. In the entire history of Brady and Edelman, they've never lost this specific type of game. Belichick has never lost a regular season game against a quarterback under the age of 25 at home. It's never happened. The Patriots also had never lost at home when leading at halftime, and then the Chiefs did it. I think we're going to see it. I think that's the type of game that we're going to see tomorrow. I'm Brandon Kiley. He's Kramer. I appreciate you all tuning in today. If you missed any of our interviews, it will be posted on the podcast page, 610sports.com or the radio.com app. We had some good ones today. I'm looking forward to it, man. It's going to be a fun one tomorrow. Enjoy Out of Bounds with Dusty Likens and Nick Price. They're coming up next. It is The Leadoff.
The Leadoff with Brandon Kiley, 610 Sports Radio.